I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Welcome to another episode of The Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman, being joined right now by friend of mine, special guest, Jonathan Casillas. You know, huge MMA fan. First of all, two-time Super Bowl winner, but also huge MMA fan as well, which is freaking unbelievable. Got to know you over the past year or two working with the Giants, and just I love rapping with you about MMA. So, dude, the biggest show maybe of all time, UFC 300, I had to have you on.
Yeah, man. Look, UFC, they don't miss. They don't miss, bro. Every single time they put on an event, no matter if it's one of the numbered event, whatever it's UFC Fight Night, whatever it is, they never miss. And now that this 300 card is set, like I was just looking at everybody, Cody Garbrandt is popping off the night at like 6 p.m. Bro, it's insane, bro. I'm so excited to see this fight, bro. This card, bro, it's crazy.
So now, real quick, what got you into, I always ask my guests this, what got you into MMA first of all? Like, was it training? Was it something else from when you were a kid, or was it something recently?
Bro, I've been watching UFC like literally from the beginning. I didn't know what it was, what I was watching back then. But like Hoist Gracie in a gi, you know, fighting guys with boxing gloves on, bro. Like it was no rules back in the day. It was guys with bare knuckles, no gloves. It was guys with gis on, boxing gloves, no weight classes. So I've been around since the chemo days, since the Ken Shamrock days, even his brother Frank Shamrock. I've been watching for a very long time. I've always been enthused with like violent sports, bro. Like I love boxing. I was in Brooklyn at my stepfather's house when Tyson bit Holyfield. Like I've always been watching boxing and MMA, and the product that the UFC's been putting out, bro. I mean, I think it's unmatched. I think it's unmatched in what they do consistently. You know, their cards, they don't even be as stacked as this one, but every single night there's blood, there's violence. They give you everything you can get every single time you tune in. And I mean, this 300 card, bro, I know we're going to get into it. I'm just so excited, bro. Poatan, he's one of my favorite fighters, bro. Like, I think he's one of the most dangerous people on the planet, and he's headlining against a guy that he's really fighting for his own belt. Like, I'm just ready to go, bro. I'm ready to go.
So you mentioned, though, that you're big into boxing as well. Real quick, before we get into this UFC card, like the one thing that, like, has always been bothering me, obviously, these crossover fights. We saw Francis Ngannou face Anthony Joshua, and it didn't go very well. And I've talked to a few, like, you know, guys that are train with Francis, and then like, oh, you know, it's a payday. He got paid nice. But as a boxing fan and an MMA fan, where are you at those type of levels of like the Francis Ngannou crossovers, the Mike Tyson versus Jake freaking Paul crossover?
Well, first off, I got to tip my hat to Francis Ngannou. You know, it went kind of south with him at UFC. They couldn't really figure out, you know, the contract-wise, because, bro, he was a main attraction for sure. You know, he had a couple sleeper fights But you know, still, when he hits you, he put his hands on you. You know, he's somebody that you definitely want to watch. I thought Tyson Fury should have sent him back to the UFC, to be honest. You know, I respect game, you know, like I do WFAN. I'm never going to call an athlete on a top level that they're not good or whatever the case is. So from go to one profession over to a whole nother profession. Yeah, it's fighting, but you know, we're talking about all around fighting to strictly boxing, the art of punching, throwing punches in boxing. I think he fared very well. I think too well against Fury. And I think Joshua put him in his place. Like, I'm sorry, bro. Like, you're not going to come from another sport, no matter how good or dominant you was, and have, like, that high level success. That's why I was, like, very disappointed in Tyson Fury. Not that Ngannou, you know, everybody knows if Ngannou touches you, you're going down. But that's the thing. I didn't think he was going to be able to touch Fury. I thought Fury was going to just run laps around him, you know? And then I think Anthony Joshua put him in his place. You got a high-level boxer, Anthony Joshua. I don't care what you say about Anthony Joshua. He's a champion. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He went back and got his belt after he lost it. He's a champion, a true champion, right? And he showed you, you're not about to just come to my sport and have success, bro. You know, take it down a notch. Even though after the fight, he told him, he was like, hey, stay in the sport. But like, hey, you might want to fight some, you know, number 15 contender, not number one in the world. You know what I mean?
Well, but that, you know, that's like when I watched the Floyd Mayweather fight, and this again gets back to like the Mike Tyson Jake Paul thing. Like, I know that I don't want to say it's a fake fight, but clearly there's going to be rules, regulations in there. You're not going to see a knockout. Mike Tyson's not going to knock out Jake Paul, and Jake Paul's not going to knock out Mike Tyson. Same thing as Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul. It's like, it kind of puts Logan over. Floyd Mayweather still is undefeated, and Logan Paul gets over. It's like Tyson did that. Tyson Fury did that to Ngannou, and it kind of was like fool's gold for Ngannou. Yeah. It's like, oh, I can fight with anybody. It's like, dude, you can't.
That's not it. Yeah. But look, I'm very indifferent about Tyson versus Paul. Number one, because like I said, I'm a huge boxing fan. So, of course, like Mike is a legend, bro. Like, you know, like before he got locked up, like I remember when I was a child watching him just dust guys. He came out of prison. He was the scariest person I've ever seen in my life, bro. I was like 9 years old. I was so scared of Mike Tyson, bro. Like, and even as adults, like men like us, we'll have a conversation 10 years ago, like, yo, would you fight Mike Tyson for $1 million? You know, like that was the conversation that we've had for a very long time. But I think, look, you got to give your credit where it's due. You know, the Paul brothers, I think especially Jake Paul, I wouldn't even exclude Logan. He fought Mayweather. He's killing it in WWE.
Yeah.
These guys found a way to garner attention in things that they like to do. First, they started off like kind of like on a lower level with like kids. When I say lower level, like not as extreme, you know, like now they got into like some dangerous, highly competitive sports. And Jake Paul, I'm not saying the fights are fixed or anything like that, but he's putting on shows. He's making it entertaining. I don't care how you feel about Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, you're going to watch it. And that's the whole point. Jake Paul has done things. They're fighting on Netflix.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying? Like that, you got to tip your hat to him. You know, no matter what happened, what he's doing, if he's fixing fights, whatever the case is, you know that he's garnering a lot of attention for the sport. He's fighting for fighters pay wages. Like, I think, you know, he might be skipping some steps in terms of the life of a boxer, you know, but at the end of the day, he's bringing a lot more eyes to it. He's making money. I don't think he sucks. I think he's a pretty good fighter. You know, if I had to, you know, put my money on him, I probably wouldn't do it against Mike Tyson. But Mike Tyson's 60 years old, and I don't want to see Tyson get knocked out. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to see him get. If he would have fought Roy Jones Jr. and got knocked out by Roy Jones, I'd have been like, oh, Roy Jones got him. But not against Jake Paul, man. That's just something I don't want to see, bro.
Well, that's why watching, you know, being an MMA guy, when Ben Askren went in there, when Nate Diaz got in there. Now, listen, Nate Diaz didn't get knocked out, but Tyron Woodley did. And it's like, oh, dude, you don't want to see that because as an MMA guy, bigger than a boxing guy, I want my guys to win, even though I know it's not likely because, again, like you said, it's an isolated sport. Like boxing, you working with those hands. They've trained for a long time to go that route. Meanwhile, you got Tyron Woodley, who is just an all-around athlete, a wrestler. You know, he's got a great skill set on the ground, but, you know, going one-on-one with a guy who, by the way, Jake Paul, brilliant matchmaking. That is really what has elevated his luck in the ring as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I'm not sure about how, like, the integrity of these fights, to be honest with you. But Woodley, and I, like I said, I praise every single pro athlete, but Usman beat the fight out of him a few years ago, bro. Mm-hmm. And you know Woodley ain't been the same since then. He ain't been the same. He's got slept several times since then. He ain't the same guy. And, you know, Jake Paul is going to put some money in your pocket, you know, and I'm not going to lie. If I was in Woodley's situation, if you say, hey, I want to hit you with a right hand and you go to sleep and you're going to make a couple $1 million, hey, I might sign up for that. You know what I mean? Throw integrity aside. My MMA career is over. I'm not trying to do anything MMA. I just want to make a couple $1 million. I might take a nice right hand and go to sleep. I don't know. Like I said, I question the integrity of the fights, but I've watched every one, Pete. I've watched every Jake Paul fight, you know, because I can't help myself. And, you know, and that's what he's doing, bro. He's having guys like myself who loves action, who loves violence, who loves, you know, the art of punching and boxing. I love the all-around fighting game that UFC presents. And I'm a sucker, bro. I'm going to go ahead and buy that pay-per-view, bro. I'm going to go ahead and do it, bro, you know. But like I said, I think he found a niche there. He found a niche where, you know, Mayweather did it over 20, 30 years of boxing where people just wanted to watch him lose. You know, everybody went to watch Mayweather lose for like the last 15 years of his career. And that's what Jake Paul has done. He's gotten to the heel side of the whole conversation real quick. And now everybody's just paying to watch him lose. He's going to get knocked out. And then you don't. You always got to, oh, he's all washed up or whatever the case is. You're watching it. And that's the whole point. And that's why Jake Paul is winning.
Well, no, it's funny. The WWE mentality has definitely taken over the fight game. Like, and it's always been. Like, everyone knows the trash talking that's been going on for
But it's drama filled now. It's real drama now.
Oh, dude, I love it. And I got to be honest with you. It's coming off clean. People freaking love it. Obviously, the fighters in UFC now have taken to it as well. But let's get to this UFC 300 card, because it really is just, I mean, it's top to bottom. I was talking to my buddy today. He goes, there's the UFC 301 that's coming up. It's like the undercard is better than the main event in the UFC 301. It's like this is how stacked it is. So let's go from the bottom to top. Okay.
Yeah.
Because we talked about Cody Garbrandt, Davison Figueiredo, bantamweight, two former champions. I love this fight. Honestly, I've interviewed Cody like a billion times. He's one of my favorite fighters. I just love his energy, genuine. You know, he is who he is. He's not a faker. He's gone through a bunch of injuries, back injuries and whatnot. Tell me, who do you like in this fight and why?
Well, first of all, I met Cody Garbrandt at a Knicks game years ago. I think right after he got the belt from – who did he get the belt from?
Dominic Cruz.
He got the belt from Dominic Cruz like in like an amazing fashion, right? But then after that, he like had a couple losses in a row where he was kind of getting slept, you know?
TJ Dillashaw was crushing him, dude.
That's Cody though, bro. Cody is going in there. He's going to knock somebody out or he's going to get knocked down. That's Cody Garbrandt for sure. And Davison Figueiredo, we saw him put together, was it a trilogy with Moreno?
Like, it was four fights, I think it was.
Was it,
I think
four, it was four fights, bro?
Yeah.
I'm not watch all of them. Like I said, I'm a junkie for this stuff, bro. I watched all the fights. And in those fights, the Moreno fights, like every fight was action-packed. You never know who was going to win. You never know who was going to be victorious at the end. You didn't know how the fight was going to end. Is it going to be a submission? Is it going to be a knockout? How is it going to end? And that's the kind of fight that he brings to the table. Cody Garbrandt is going to knock you out or get knocked out. Davison Figueiredo, he can take you down in so many different ways. But I'm going to go with Cody. I'm going to stick with America here, you know. And I think, look, the only way I think Cody Garbrandt leaves that ring when somebody gets knocked out, whether it's him or somebody else. So Cody Garbrandt for knockout for sure.
It's funny. Davison Figueiredo is like this guy that, you know, he's going up in weight class, bantamweight, and Cody tried to go down in flyweight, and it just did not work out. Like the cut probably was bad for him. He got knocked out by Kai Kara France. Obviously, he's more comfortable here. I still question his back issues, his chin too. That's the other thing. The one thing that I've always talked about with fighters is when their chin goes, it's it. It's done. It doesn't come back.
Yeah.
If Davison Figueiredo can land one, I think you're right. It's nighty night. I love Cody. I can't go against him. So I'm going to go Cody Garbrandt as well. Your next fight, lightweight fight. Now, Jim Miller is like, I just saw him put on a jacket, 100 clean tests in the UFC. That's freaking unbelievable. Like, the guy's he's fought how many times? He continues to, like, break records about cage time. He's going up against a badass at Bobby Green. It's a freaking awesome fight. Two legends of the sport. How do you like this fight? Again, Jim Miller, a local Jersey guy like yourself.
Yeah. This is the old head fight of the card. You know, both of these guys are up there in age. I think they're my age. I'm 36. I've been retired for 6 years, Pete, after a 9-year career. I'm not trying to play football. I'm not trying to hit nobody. These guys are my age, still throwing punches. So you got to tip your hat to them. Bobby Green is like that anomaly. Like, one night he comes in, he looks amazing. And then sometimes he might go out there and he's like, okay, Bobby Green shouldn't have been competing against this guy, you know. But I think this match with the two OGs of the card going against each other, and with Dana basically announcing that they're going to go from 50K to 300K, like, Bobby Green sounded too excited about it. So I expect fireworks in this fight as well. And, you know, I don't know. For me, it's a toss-up here. You know, it's a 3-round fight. I think both of these guys, you know, they don't have that many fights left on their, underneath their belt, but I think they're going to give us one to remember. I'll go Bobby Green on this one because when they said he was going to get a $300,000 fight bonus, you know, if he gets the fight bonus, the eyes, bro, his eyes lit up, and I think he's going to do anything he can to get that 300K, bro.
I think you're right, because again, this whole card is going to be fireworks, because when you throw that type of money out there, I think these guys and girls are going to go crazy, because usually it's 50K, maybe max you get 100K out of it. But 300K for some of these fighters is crazy. And you're talking about Bobby Green and Jim Miller, like you said, are on the tail end of their career. Jim Miller, this could be his last fight. You just don't know with him. Bobby Green, I think he's got a couple more left in the tank, but they're not going to get too many more paydays than this. So you're right. I do like Jim Miller just because what you said about Bobby Green, the consistency. Bobby Green sometimes is a no-show. Because of that, Jim Miller, I'm going to go hit with Jim Miller because he's the same person in every single fight. Women's strawweight, you got Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. Jessica Andrade, a former champ. Marina Rodriguez, close to, you know, I think she fought for the belt once. She's been up there, but this is an interesting fight as Jessica Andrade again fights in the strawweight division. How do you feel this fight going?
I've never seen Marina Rodriguez fight. I've only seen like little clips of her. But Andrade, I've seen her fight. Her last fight, she lost. Didn't she lose her last fight?
Yeah.
Was that to Yao, the one that's fighting Zhang Weili, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. She got kind of cleaned up. But I've watched prior fights, bro. She's a dog. Oh, my gosh, bro. She's throwing punches nonstop. And like I said, I've never seen the other lady fight before. I think she's one of the only ones on this whole entire card I've never actually, like, watched fight. So I got to go with the girl I know, who I know she's going to bring violence, bro. Like, I know she's going to bring violence from the start of the round, bro. Like, she's a headhunter. You know what I mean? She's throwing those hands. She's switching stances. You know, I've never seen Marina fight, but if I got to put my money blindly on somebody, I'm putting it on Andrade for sure.
Yeah, no, Andrade 100%. Like, and again, she's now fighting. I think this is the third fight in a row for her back in strawweight. So she's been up and down. She always fluctuates between flyweight and strawweight. But this is they've both beaten some studs in the in UFC in the women's divisions. Mackenzie Dern, who's up there, they both have a victory over her. But again, something about Jessica Andrade is different. Like, well, I've seen her dismantle women where it's just like, obviously she almost killed Rose Namajunas in the cage.
Yeah.
So I like Jessica Andrade as well. I think that she's just one of the best out there, even at her age, even towards the end of her career.
And Dern was actually her last fight, and she fought Suarez before that loss. She fought Yao the fight before that one. I remember watching that one.
And Tatiana Suarez is no joke. So Tatiana Suarez is gonna be a champion soon. So that to me is like you're running into a gauntlet there. It's no fair. Let's go to the final early prelim. Again, this is crazy. Jalen Turner, who is the freaking man, versus Renato Moicano. Jalen Turner, bro, I've talked to him a bunch of times. He's a very interesting fellow, collects tarantulas, loves anime and horror movies, but yeah. In the cage, he's a freaking killer. What are your thoughts on this fight with Jalen Turner?
Well, he's huge, bro. He's like 6'2",
yep.
You know, fighting in his division, bro. Like, that's unfair, man. And the amount of power that these long, tall guys kind of, you know, harness in these skinny-like frames, like, it's unbelievable. I mean, the guy's name is Tarantula because he looks like he got eight arms whenever he's in the ring, you know. But this is another fight that I expect to see a lot of. I mean, what fight is not going to be fireworks? You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to say that. You probably going to be saying that the whole time.
With 300K on the line, everyone's going to be fireworks. Exactly, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, it's going to be insane, man. And how do you say this guy's name? Renato's last name?
Renato Moicano.
Moicano. Yeah. I know he fought Dober, and that was, you know, Dober's
Moicano. I gotta tell you something about Moicano. Okay, he's been up and down his whole entire career. He was one of those guys that was you know, supposed to be a highly touted prospect, and when he came up, he's 34 years old, he's not old, but when he was coming up, he was supposed to be the next champ or supposed to be up there. And he fell flat. He got into a bit. He lost to Brian Ortega. He lost to Aldo. He lost to some of the better fighters. In the featherweight division, and just never really came out of it. But now, he's gone into the lightweight division and has done rather well. He's had some really big.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Knockouts as big submissions. He's up and down, though. He's kind of like a Bobby Green. Like, you just never know what type of Moicano is going to show up.
Yeah, I mean, I would put my money on Jalen Turner. I mean, he's 6'2 in that weight division, you know, in the lightweight division. I really see it's hard for people to, like, deal with length like that, you know what I mean, in that division. So I got to go with Jalen Turner, America versus Brazil. We got America again.
I love it, dude. I love it. That's going to be a good fight. I mean, dude, like, we talk about this could be the first four fights of the night could be a fight of the night. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous.
For sure.
You got Sodiq Youssef versus Diego Lopez. Diego Lopez is one of these dudes who came on the scene who in the featherweight division, he kind of stepped in randomly in his first fight in the UFC, and he just put on a show.
Well, so he's and a it, dog.
Yeah. Dog, yeah. He came in. Who was it first? It might have been versus Ivalev. That was okay. So he didn't win his first fight, but he Movsar Ivalev is an amazing fighter, and they put on a fight of the night. That's how good Diego Lopez was. And then since then, he's won the next two fights. So that's a guy that in the featherweight division is really stepping up and putting a name for himself for three fights in the UFC.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely like he's the one that when you say who's going to be fighter tonight and you pick a couple of fights, I think you got to throw, you know, his name in there to receive that because he's just bringing violence, bro. You know, and everybody knows, like, UFC, it's not like boxing. Like, after, you know, your whole career is over in boxing, it doesn't matter if you're a boring fighter or not. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't. In UFC, it does. It does matter. And most of the guys that we're talking about, everybody on this card, are exciting fighters, but there's levels to that as well. And I think him, Diego Lopez, I think he's on the high, like the top tier level of exciting fighters. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how it's going to go. I think Diego Lopez is going to be the guy at the end of the night with his hand raised, but maybe it's a stoppage. I'm not sure. But my money's on him because I think he's a rising superstar in this fight game for sure.
I think it's going to be tough for him to stop Sadiq Youssef, but I do think that Diego Lopez is going to get the victory. I think it's just going to be by decision. Women's bantamweight, you have Holly Holm versus the newcomer in UFC, Kayla Harrison. Now, she's been fighting in the PFL. Not saying that she's been getting cupcake fights, but the PFL roster is not what the UFC roster is. You're going up against a former champion, Holly Holm. Kayla Harrison is known for her wrestling skills, her jiu-jitsu skills, her ground game, and Holly Holm is basically a badass kickboxer. This fight is going to be ridiculous one way or the other because what is Kayla Harrison going to do against a high-level fighter in Holly Holm? How do you like this fight?
Yeah, but this ain't the same Holly Holm, bro, from literally 10 years ago, bro. Like, she was Holly Holm that we remember. That was when she was, you know, kicking
Ronda Rousey
in the head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and like, by the way, she was concussed going in there. She was concussed going in there. That's her excuse now. She was concussed walking into that fight. That's why she lost for Holly Holm.
She definitely was concussed walking out of that thing for sure. But that was like the first time I remember Holly Holm really popping up on the scene. And then, you know, she had some wins, you know, early, you know, I felt like in UFC. And then, you know, she ain't really been that, you know, over the last few years, bro. She's not the same fighter she used to be. Hopefully she can give us a little glimpse of what we saw way back then when she was serving up, you know, high kicks to Ronda Rousey, you know, but I don't really see it going her way. You know, Kayla Harrison, she's young, you know, it's almost like her time now. And Holly Holm might be one of those gatekeepers, you know, for the women's side that was people going to watch Holly fight. You know what I mean? Because people know what she brings to the table. But she's like 42 years old, bro. Like, if I'm not mistaken, she's the oldest person on the card, bro. I don't think it's going to go her way. I don't think it's going to go her way. You know, I think Kayla's going to probably beat her up pretty bad. Hopefully not that bad because I love Holly Holm. I think that head kick to Ronda Rousey because I never was sold on Ronda. That was like it for me. I was like, oh, I love Holly forever and ever and ever. So I think she'll take the L. Hopefully it'd be a decision and not her sleeping on the mat.
So here's the thing with Holly, right? So I agree with you. I think that her skill set's a little bit, you know, as she's getting older, it's going to be tougher to compete with a Kayla Harrison. And Holly has, like you said, she's been a little bit, I don't want to say boring, but she hasn't really control. She's controlling the cage. She controls the fights, but it's usually up against the cage. And that's where Kayla Harrison, if you're going to get too tight with her, she might be able to work a takedown. So I think in that aspect, you're right. Kayla Harrison is going to bring the fight to the ground because Holly's going to be working out of a clinch the whole time. Holly's going to be working out of close distance, and that's going to fare in Kayla's favor. So I'm agreeing to that too. I think Kayla Harrison has the edge. Now, obviously, Holly Holm has the experience, and that sometimes always wins too. But Kayla, younger, hungrier, I think this is her time to shine. Calvin Kattar, featherweight fight versus Aljamain Sterling. Aljamain's going up, as my dog's yelling and screaming. Aljamain is going up against, you know, first time in the featherweight division. How do you like this fight?
Well, I love Aljo. I don't understand all the hate that he gets all the time. I think he's a really good fighter. I did put some money on Sugar Shane, though, and when he got the knockout, so against Aldo. So I appreciate that. But I think, you know, being out the ring for as long as Qatar has been out for, like 18 months, his last fight was in 2022. I think, you know, Aljo's a guy, you can tell, he's fighting, he's wrestling, he's always in the gym, he's young. You know, and I think he needs to make a point and prove a point that what happened, you know, against Sugar Shane, like, that's an anomaly. Like, I'm a better fighter than that. And I think Aljo's a good fighter. I think he's one of the better fighters in what he was in the light division. Well, he was in featherweight.
He was bantamweight division.
Bantamweight, yeah. Now he moved up to featherweight. Right. He was one of the better fighters in bantamweight. Let's see if this is actually a better weight class for him, because I know he had to cut a lot for bantamweight. So he might even be better here. Qatar was being taught how to punch in the middle of a fight by Max Holloway. So I'm not too sold on him, but I know it's going to be a slugfest. Sterling might, you know, tap him out, might make him submit. I think I got to go Aldo on this one, and I expect him to look better than he has. I think this is more of his weight class. I think this is a better weight class for him.
So it's interesting, because as you get older, like, I talked to Jim Miller a while ago, and he was talking about how he wanted to change out of weight classes. And you see a lot of guys move up and down weight class, you know, just because it's tough to compete. Like obviously Sterling has fought 135 most of his career. To go to 145 now, because he's getting older, it's definitely easier on his body to cut that weight. I do like his funk. He's called Funk Master for a reason. He's got a funky style to him. So yeah, he's in the bantamweight losses he's had, besides the Peter Yan DQ where he won that fight, the knockout by Marlon Moraes, I think, was a lucky turn of events. Aljo didn't set up his takedown properly, or at least Moraes read it properly, and that's when he got the head kick that knocked him out. And then Marlon Moraes went on that championship run. Aljo, though, when he gets wrapped around you, it's nighty night. Yeah. And I think he could, I think he could finish Calvin that way as well. I don't know. You're right. Qatar's inconsistency being in the cage, I don't want to say ring rust, because that's unfair to someone like him, but it is a question when you go on against Aljamain Sterling. Next up, light heavyweight, former champion Yuri Prochazka versus Alexander Rakic, who is, if it wasn't for a UCL injury, it was an MCL injury in his knee, I think he would have been up there for a championship fight as well. But Yuri Prochazka, somebody who lost to Jamahal Hill, which, by the way, this is part of the reason why they throw this fight out there. Yeah. They have Yuri here just in case Pereira or Hill can't go. You got Yuri out there, who's a former champ, that could step right in. But this is going to be a banger as well. How do you like this fight?
Well, I love Yuri, the ninja. I love him. I think he's like so entertaining. He's one of those guys, like, you know, he's very awkward. You know, he's like crawling on the ground, like he's doing like weird stuff, you know, while he's fighting. But that's what makes him so exciting. You know, he can knock you out with a spinning elbow, back kick. You know, he does unconventional things. I feel like he's a big guy. You know what I mean? Like, all of these guys are, you know, pretty good size guys. But, you know, him and Pereira, and, you know, Pereira is a huge human being. Those guys are like eye to eye. They look similar in size. And, you know, Pereira walks around at like 230, which is insane that he was ever fighting in middleweight. Mm-hmm. But let's stay with Jiri on this one. Look, Rakic is a great fighter. He had a good win against Blachowicz. Blachowicz is a good fighter. Maybe he's kind of slowing down a little bit too. But Jiri, you know, he went head to head with Pereira. What do you think? It was an early stop. What do you think?
I think it was a little early. Just a bit, dude.
And he was holding his own. He was holding his own against one of the most dangerous fighters, the headliner of UFC 300. I think he wants to go out there and prove a point tonight. UFC 300. I'm leaning towards Jiri. I don't know how it's going to end, but it's going to be a lot of violence. I don't think it's going to be a decision, though. I think somebody's going to get slept, you know, tap out, something like that. I don't think it's going to go to three rounds that it's proposed to go. Somebody's going to, you know, end this fight early for sure.
Yeah, Rakic is nasty. I think Yuri's just so confusing when you watch him. It's tough to plan for Yuri because he's so unconventional. If it was a conventional fighter, if it was more of a basic fighter, I could see how Rakic can find a way to win. But when Jiří's just so confusing, you're going to have to get a lucky shot. And I don't know if he can get it in there. So we're going to go to the main card here. You got middleweight fight. You got the prospect, big time wrestler, Penn State grad, Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. A lot of people are hating on this fight, which is crazy because Bo Nickel is very special. But Cody Brundage is one of these guys who's come up, who stepped in last minute for a few fights, has beat up, you know, has won last minute in some last minute fights. I think it's a no-brainer, Bo Nickel, but do you see it going any other way?
Well, every now and again, you have a young fighter who starts to make a rise in the UFC, and they get clipped by a veteran fighter on a prime fight night like UFC 300 is. This might be one of those things, and it's a little with luck involved. You know what I mean? There's a little luck involved where maybe, you know, get caught early, you know, pulling out. I don't know. People are giving this thing, this fight a hard time, but you got to put your future stars on a platform when it's early. So you can have that, like, we projected this guy's specialness. I think that's what Bo Nickel is. I think he's a special fighter, but I also think they're setting it up to maybe Brundage can get like that old wily veteran kind of schooling that young boy, you know, like, this is what we do here. Like, you gotta go ahead and take the necessary steps to get to this point, because I feel like people don't think he deserves it. But definitely Bo Nickel's talented. You know, he's not getting out of, he don't allow people to get out of that first round. He's ending fights really early. But I think if Brundage can survive, you know, I think he has the capability to upset a highly touted young Bo Nickel. So for me, I'm going to go underdog here. I know he's like a 25-1 dog, but if I'm going to pick one underdog, it's going to be the biggest underdog of the night. I'm going to pick Brundage.
Dude, so it's funny because you nailed it. These are the type of fights where it screams Bo Nickel, but anything can happen. That's why I love UFC. And I got to be honest with you, I don't even look at these cards and look at their odds. I don't. You and I, we watch fights all the time. We basically know everybody. We kind of have an idea of it. Even if it's somebody that's new to the roster, you kind of have an idea. I don't need the odds to skew me in a way where, like, I wouldn't lean. I want to have that gut instinct, because that's the way I like picking these fights, because of something, like you just said, the Cody Brundage factor could just end Bo Nickel's night in one random punch. Right. Let's go to the lightweight division. Charles Oliveira versus Armand Sarukyan. I'm saying his name wrong, which I always do. But DuBronx is one of the best lightweight fighters of all time. Had his championship run end, and he's trying to get his way back to a title fight. How do you like DuBronx in this fight versus Armand?
Well, DuBronx is one of my favorite fighters. I actually bet against him with Chandler. And after the first round, I'm sitting there like, oh, yeah, Chandler, that's money in the bag. You know, for me, like, it was a last second thing. I'm not a gambler. I'm not a big gambler. But, like, I do it for fun. You know, like, it's fun for me to do it. You know, and anybody that are gamblers, you should only be gambling money that you could afford to lose, okay?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Don't do any more than that. So, for me, it was a fun night. You know, I have some drinks flowing. I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick America over Brazil. You know, I have nothing against Brazil. But you know how it goes when you get into those fight nights, you know, and for me, it was early Chandler. And I was just like, man, look at him. He's built like a football player. Like, the guy is like built like a rock. And DuBronx, I think he was good. But for me, I wanted to get a little bang for my buck. So I put some money on Chandler. The first round went by. Oliveira's on his back the whole time. I'm like, oh, we got this in the back. Pete, I went upstairs at the end of the first round. Went upstairs for 1 second. I think I went to go get a cigar. I came back downstairs, and Oliveira was celebrating. I was like, what happened? How did Chandler lose? But that's Oliveira. You cannot take your eyes off of him. When he's damaged, that's when he's most dangerous. We've seen it several times. Poirier had him on the ground. Gaethje had him on his back. And And I heard what Gaethje said about Oliveira. I don't know if you heard this too. He said when he got hit with that straight right hand, he said that was the hardest punch he's ever felt.
Yes.
And yes. Gaethje's been in there with dogs, and him himself is a dog.
Yeah.
So for him to say that, I know he's an underdog in this fight, but Charles Du Bronx, bro, don't get it twisted. He can end the fight in so many different ways. And I think he's far removed from the tapping out guy. You know, he was getting a lot of criticism about that. He's so far removed from that. The only time I feel like he's been dominated was by the number one fighter in the world, the guy that beat Volkanovski twice.
Yep.
That's the only guy that really got him in the last few years. You know what I'm saying? So for me, Chizarikin?
Cesarkian. No. Yeah, I'm always saying it. Just say Armand. Listen.
Armand, right. for me, he's going to have to prove it because I know he's a young, talented fighter. I've seen him put Dariush down. Mm. But for me, Charles Du Bronx, he's one of those, you know, those pinnacles, those guys that when you want to hang your hat on somebody, and of course, this is a fight game. You can't hang your hat on nobody. You know what I mean? But for me, if I got to put my money on, I'm putting my money on him because I know he's going to give me what I want. He's going to give me a good fight. And if he goes to the ground, that presents a lot of danger for his opponent.
No, I think you nailed it. And Du Bronx, it's tough to go against him, especially the run he was on for a while, the undefeated run, and just everything that he puts in the cage. He's been in so many uncomfortable positions and comes out on top all the time. It's amazing. We're going to go to the first of three title fights. This is a BMF fight, the Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway fight. Now, both men, you know, are unbelievable fighters. Max Holloway has so much respect being from, you know, Hawaii, being a former champ in the featherweight division. But again, now he's moving back up to the lightweight. We've seen this once before. Didn't work out as well. How do you see for this BMF fight between Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje?
Well, let's put a little asterisk on it not working out. He fought Dustin Poirier, bro.
Yeah, I know.
He fought Dustin Poirier, bro. Poirier's beating everybody, you know what I mean? But no, I mean, if you want to talk about BMF, I mean, who else would you have? You know what I mean? Diaz and Jorge, they did their run. Okay, cool. Who else? I think you got to pick Gaethje. I think that's number one. You know, and the list of guys that's around the weight class of Gaethje, I think Holloway probably is the number one contender when you think about it. You know what I'm saying? And I think when you talk about BMF, I mean, Holloway's fought McGregor, he's fought Poirier. I mean, this guy, he has over 30, almost 3,200 significant strikes, bro, in his UFC career. He broke 3,000, and then now he almost has 3,200. Like, this guy, if Gaethje is in trouble, if he doesn't, I think if he doesn't end it early against Holloway, I think Gaethje's going to be in trouble. Like, I love Gaethje. Who doesn't love Gaethje, right? Gaethje gives you what you want in UFC. He gives you violence. He gives you reckless abandon. But what I think, Pete, and I think if you watch the Poirier fight, he's changed his game a little bit. He's not as reckless. I don't think he's not as dangerous. He's as dangerous. I don't think he's putting himself in danger as much. Hmm. You know, so I think he can end the fight early, but then on the other side, Holloway doesn't get knocked out. You know, so it's like that's what makes this fight so amazing. Not that you have one guy who's like insane and one guy who punches for hours and days every day. Like, not that. It's the fact that you have one guy who you know can put anybody to sleep, and on the other side of it, you have a guy that's going to throw a lot of punches and doesn't get put to sleep. So I think that's the argument there. I am a Justin Gaethje fan, big Justin Gaethje fan, but I think I got to give it to Max Holloway because if it goes five rounds, I think Holloway would go ahead and get him out of there.
So I love it. It's such a toss-up for me, and this could be the fight of the night. Again, yeah. the whole card could be a fight of the night, but this one, the one thing about Holloway that I do love about him training now is he doesn't spar as much. He's made sure that
we all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He limits the damage going into a fight, which I think can benefit him.
Bro, I'm sorry to cut you off, bro, but he's the one that points to the middle of the ring and says, let's fight. No, don't put your guard up. Let's fight. Bro. Of course he's not going to spar because he's a maniac when he's in the ring.
Yes, no, of course. But listen, though, Justin Gaethje fights different. So if I don't know, like I don't spar a lot. So I don't know how it is to take a lot of time off and then get cracked by a Justin Gaethje punch. But if there's a maniac that's going to win, it's going to be Holloway. So I do not disagree. Such a good fight. I'm looking forward to it. Again, these last few fights, it doesn't make a difference who wins. I just want a good fight and you're going to get them.
Yeah.
Then you have Wally Zhang versus Yan Zhanan, again, for the women's strawweight fight. They're both amazing fighters. Wally Zhang, I freaking love her. She is one of the better champs out there. She's such a good person, but great fighter. How do you see this one going?
Well, Zhang Weili, she's not fighting Thug Rose, so she's probably going to win the fight.
Yeah.
Thug Rose, the only one that got her, right? Thug Rose, the only one that got her. But I watched the Andrade versus Zhanan fight, and she put it on Andrade strong, bro. You know what I mean? Like, she put it on pretty good. But I love this China versus China. You know, you got the first Chinese UFC athlete in Yao, and then the first champion in Zhang Weili. So I think this is huge for the country. I think this is huge for UFC and viewership, and they're going to give it what we want. You know, I know people talk about, you know, they're going to go to the bathroom during this fight. If you go to the bathroom during this fight, you're going to miss somebody getting knocked out.
Stupid.
You know what I'm saying? Because these women, they're coming to bang. They're representing their countries. You know, and both of them. I mean, Zhang, she's an absolute dog. She throws so many punches, so many kicks. She mixes it up. She's absolutely strong. She looks like a pit bull monster in there. You know, but she's going to have her hands full. You know, I watched this girl beat the crap out of Andrade, you know, not too long ago. You know, so I expect this fight to be a great fight. Like you said, this fight too. Yeah, it's women. But listen, I've watched a lot of women fights. Sometimes the women fights are not better. They're way better than the men sometimes, you know? And this is one of those fights, I think, that, you know, coming leading up to this main event, leading up to the main fight, this one might steal the night, you know? Like, people might be sleeping on it. It might steal the night. You got two bona fide superstars, and they're fighting for who's the best in China, which is, I think, is phenomenal.
Dude, Wally Zhang versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk was one of the best fights of all time. It went to the Hall of Fame, the UFC Hall of Fame, because it was that good. This is a can't-miss fight. I think you nailed it. And then finally, we get to the light heavyweight championship. The third title on the card is Alex Pereira Potan versus Jamahal Hill. This fight, I think you can't blink. I think it's going to be done really, really quick.
You got to start watching when they start announcing the names, because they might end before that.
It's so good. So, but we've talked about it. You love Pereira, but Hill is a sleeper. His story is phenomenal from Chicago. How do you like this fight? Who do you like in this?
Well, honestly, for me, it would have been a little bit closer if Jamahal wasn't recovering from an Achilles. You know, and I don't want to make an excuse for him because he ain't making no excuses. But I had an Achilles. It takes a long time to come back. And then when you come back, you're really not the same. You know, like minus 1% athleticism for Jamal Hill, not against this guy, not against Poetan, bro. You know what I mean? So I think he's at a disadvantage in terms of potential, right? But I'm not saying he doesn't have a chance. I just think that coming off this injury, which is a very serious injury, Achilles, you can't play with that. You know, he's not the youngest. So, you know, it's a year that he had. But to get in against one of the most dangerous men in the entire world in any sport is a tall task to ask. But if you look at Jamal Hill and you look in his eyes, he believes he can beat that man. He believes he can put him to sleep. And this is a guy who's knocked out Izzy. You know, he just knocked out Geary. He put whatchamacallit to sleep.
Sean Strickland.
Sean Strickland.
Yeah, man.
I mean, this guy, his name is Hands of Stone for a reason. You know, he was 230 fighting in the middleweight division, which is crazy. I think this division is more fitted to him. And for me, I think it's his division until somebody like a Jamal Hill, whose determination might even be more than his fighting style, then could go ahead and will himself to victory. Because when you have it in here, bro, and I think Jamal has it in here, when you have it in here, bro, you don't have to be the greatest fighter in the world to beat one of the greatest fighters in the world. You know, you got to have that unrelenting belief in yourself and that will and that ability to never give up and never quit. Now, that's easy to say when you're going against, you know, in soccer or football, when, you know, the person next to you is not trying to rip your head off. You know what I mean? And if you survive, that's the thing. He has to survive. And not a lot of people survives against Poetan. So if I got to put my money on anybody, bro, it'd probably go to Poetan and Alex. Because, I mean, we've never seen the stuff that he's done. You know, like, I don't know if you've seen the clip of him, like, playing around in the gym. He checked the guy's kick from behind. Did you see that? He was like,
I didn't see that there. One. I've seen so many different things from him. I've seen him and Glover.
See if I can get my foot into the camera. So he's sparring a guy, right? He checks a kick by putting his foot behind him.
Oh, my God.
Like that. And I'm like, bro, like, what? You better not pull that out. No fight. But, I mean, the guy is – he's the final boss. I know they call The Rock that, but he's the boss, bro. He is the guy where you beat everybody, and you beat the toughest guys, and you beat the army of 88 warriors and ninjas. He's the guy standing there with no weapons by himself, and you have to fight him, and you have all the weapons in the world, but nothing works because he's the Poetan.
Dude, I love it. I'm scared because you're right. Like he's the type of guy where your energy could be 100% in a video game, but one punch just takes you out. And that's what he does.
Real quick, there's Get Back there too. Jamal Hill, he watched him beat his master. He was right there, front and center in the corner, and he watched him put down Glover Teixeira. So there's a little Get Back there too. Go ahead, Pete.
No, you're right, man. Listen, it is going to be a ridiculous fight. This is going to be something where when you see Pereira fighting Adesanya had to fight him how many times to find a way to beat him? Jamal Hill's got one shot. He's got one shot. I just don't think he has enough to take out Pereira. I'm going to lean with you on Pereira on this. I think it's going to be a quick night. For one of these guys, and I think I got to lead with Poetan on this one. Now, listen, Jonathan, we've been almost doing wrapping for an hour here, which is amazing. But I have to ask you a couple football questions before we go. Jonathan Casillas, who does a lot of great work with the Giants podcast, but you have heard the rumors about what's going to happen draft-wise with the Giants. You've heard all these quarterbacks being thrown around. Now, all of a sudden, people are talking about the fact that maybe a wide receiver is going to come their way, maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. What do you think is the best move for the New York Giants when it comes to the NFL draft?
Well, in order for, I think, the Giants to get one of the top quarterbacks, I think they would have to move up. And I don't know if there's a guy I mean, I think the quarterbacks, the top three quarterbacks, whoever, however you want to look at them, maybe even top four quarterbacks, I think they're going to be gone by number six. And I think it's just going to cost the Giants too much to move up to get one of those quarterbacks in the first three or four picks of the draft, because the Giants need good players all around. Mm. You know, they need good talent, you know, and they definitely need a number one wide receiver. And at number six, I think you have viable options there. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. may be off the board. You got Neighbors. You got Ndunze. I think they'll be there. I think those are quality number one receivers. I think the Giants definitely need to figure out who's going to be their quarterback of the future. I don't know if that's going to be Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones have to prove that he can play by week one. You know, he had a, you know, an ACL injury. He has to prove he can be healthy by week one. They do have an insurance policy with Drew Lock there.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have, you know, Tommy Cutlass there as well. I don't know if the Giants, if they go after a quarterback in this draft, in that with an early pick, which they could possibly do, but I think they would have to move up to get one of the top guys. I don't know if they're wrong for doing that, because I don't know how they feel about Daniel Jones for the long term. And the reason why is because they didn't do his fifth year extension, right? Daniel Jones forced their hand to give him the contract. You had to pay him. He won an NFL playoff game. The last time that happened, the Giants won a Super Bowl. Let's be real about this, right? And the time before that, it's been a long time, bro. You know, I went in 2016 and we lost to Green Bay. Before that, it was 2012 when the Giants won a Super Bowl. And the Giants haven't won a game in the playoffs since then. And Daniel Jones played well enough. He didn't turn the ball over. He deserved everything he got. I'm arguing for that for sure. But the way they structured his contract, Pete, was basically for 2 years. And this is year number two. So I don't think the Giants think he is the long-term solution. So my question is, Pete, which is what you have to ask, where are they going to address this at? Drew Lock's not the long-term solution. He's the temporary solution if Daniel Jones isn't healthy for week one, right? So where do they address the long-term solution for Daniel Jones for the quarterback position, right? Do they do it in this draft? Would they be willing to trade up into late in the first round? Do they try to maybe see if Penix has slipped to the second round? You know what I mean? Like, it's an interesting play. I think they can't go wrong with one of those wide receivers. I don't know if they'll go tackle with Alt, you know, because you have Evan Neal. They just signed a kid from Oakland. You got John Runyon. Of course, you got left tackle, who I think is one of the better left tackles in the game right now, and Andrew Thomas. So, look, I think receiver would be the pick, but Giants need ball players. Saquon leaving, they need game-changing offensive players. Receiver, I think that's number one. Number two is quarterback, or you can flip it. Number one's quarterback, number two is receiver, whatever the case is. After this draft, the Giants need to have better weapons, especially at wide receiver, and they need to have better players overall in general. They need to put better players on that field next year than what they did in 2023.
You know, just because I'm somebody who I love the philosophy of, like, don't need, you know, if you're going to have to address the quarterback situation at some point in time, maybe you could do it deeper in the draft. You don't have to take him in the first round. I've looked at the drafts over the past couple of years, and I feel like a lot of teams are reaching for quarterbacks and it's not panning out. Are you in the mind frame of, doesn't make a difference? You got to, if you have the ability to draft a quarterback high, you take them, or is it fill out the roster first and then try to find your quarterback?
I like that. You know why? Because if you look at the Eagles, you look at San Fran, that's what they did. You know, and those are two NFC teams that has represented the NFC in the Super Bowl in the last couple of years. And look, the 49ers did something, and nobody talks about what they did, but they blew it when they went up and drafted the kid overall. What was the kid
Trey
name?
Lance.
Like, it sucks. I don't even know the kid's name, bro.
Trey Lance,
I follow football, bro, but the kid barely plays. And then he goes to Dallas. They traded like three first-round draft picks. But you know why San Fran didn't struggle after they blew it and they drafted basically a bust and they blew it. They blew their future. You know why? Because they had a great team already. That's why. That's why you can plug in Jimmy Garoppolo and get 12, 13 wins. That's why you can plug in a block Brock Purdy and go to the Super Bowl. You know, like, because you have a legit team. You have the best left tackle, the best tight end, the best pass rusher, the best middle linebacker, right? What do the Giants have that is the best? You see what I'm saying? So the Giants have to have guys who elevate their games. The guys are on the roster now. And then you have to bring in special players that has the potential to be one of the best players in the league, whether regardless of position. That's how you compete in the NFL. It's not Brock Purdy against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. No, it's the talented San Francisco 49ers against Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I love it. Listen, Jonathan Casillas, I appreciate it. Two-time Super Bowl champion. Give us the other podcast you do, because I believe you have a new one that just came out that you're working on.
Yeah, so it's called The Other Side. And I don't know if you remember the name Dominique Easley. He played for the Patriots. He was a Florida graduate from Florida. And Darnell Nicole, she was a Wags star, you know, the reality TV back in like 2017. It's called The Other Side. We're literally just starting to get going. So, you know, check out my Instagram, check out my YouTube, and it'll be out there.
Cool. That's great, man. And I love your stuff that you do with the Giants during the season, off the season. Looking forward to working again with you this season coming up. Are you traveling to Germany with us? That, by the way, is a rumor that I've been making. As soon as I saw that the Giants were locked in for Germany to have their hands in Germany, Carolina's playing in Germany this year in Munich. I have a strange suspicion that the Giants are following him out there. Am I wrong on that?
I don't know. I don't have any word. But you know, I don't travel for games anyway. I'm going to be in that studio at WFAN, reporting live from the studio. But you know what it is, though? I don't really want to travel. You know, like, there's certain places like, you know, Miami, you know, they go play the Raiders, you know, like, I would love to go out there, you know. But for me, like, let me just watch the game and cover it and do my thing. And then I could get home in 20 minutes from the stadium. I can get home in 30 minutes from WFAN. I'm cool with, you know, watching the games in a closed environment where the weather is not hard on me. You know what I mean?
You don't miss the travel? Like, I mean, dude, you played for how many years in the NFL? You played
nine years.
So
9 years.
Dude, I mean, the fact is you were out there and you did this traveling. You had the grind. You don't miss it at all, going out and traveling and just checking out new places and whatnot?
Well, I still travel, Pete. I'm going to Dominican Republic soon. I'm going to Jamaica soon. A few months ago, I was in Thailand. I went to Brazil last year. Like, I love to travel. I haven't stopped traveling, but I do miss the camaraderie. Like, of course, that's what everybody says, but it's true. You know, like, when you're going out there, and football is really the ultimate team sport. I played basketball all through high school, leading up to high school, and that was my number one sport. But nothing's like football. You know, like, I remember when I was in Wisconsin, we used to hang out at the KK, and I used to have my guys, right? I had like five or six guys, you know, maybe more if, you know, some guys stayed home. But then there was like cliques on the football team. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be my guys here. Let's say we got into it with somebody, and they only think it's five people, and all of a sudden you look over and all the linemen are right there. all the big country-fed linemen are right there. It's 12 of them. It's 30,000 pounds of man right there. You know, but it's nothing like the camaraderie of a football locker room. You know, it's diverse. Like, for me, you know, people talk about racism, and I played at Wisconsin. That's the whitest state in America. You go to in these locker rooms, like, not to say racism doesn't exist, but it doesn't, man. Like, we joke about race. We joke about height. We joke about the way your face looks. You know what I mean? Like, it's no environment like a football locker room, bro, where people could just be brothers. People could be themselves, you know. And, you know, for me, I do media. I can't say everything that I want to say, Pete. I'm going to get a call from somebody that, hey, JC, you better take it down. You know what I mean? But in that locker room with your guys, you could be who you are. You could be authentically you. You know what I mean? And that's what I truly miss, that locker room aspect, traveling with my brothers all over the world because I played in London. That's what I miss the most, doing it with my guys.
No, it's awesome. And actually, it's funny because you say, like, you in a locker room, you're able to kind of say what you want to say. The one thing that Dana White, bring it back to the UFC for one second, Dana White allows his fighters to basically say what they want to say. He doesn't care. Like, it's like, hey, it's freedom of speech. I'll let you say what you want to say. Be the personality you want to be, and it's all good. And that's I'm not against that. I'm not anti that. Freedom of speech is very important. So it's something that I've been around the locker room a little bit recently. I haven't gotten connected with guys like you know, you on the side and stuff like that. So it's maybe in front of me, they're not as vocal as, you know.
They wouldn't do it in front of media. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As soon as media leaves, they start talking crazy. You know, like, you know how it is. And I'll let you finish, but give me 1 second. It was female reporters. You know what I'm saying? Oh. Like, they come in, you're very respectful. Very. You have to be. You know what I'm saying? As soon as they leave, you're like, hey, man, you seen her, bro? Like, you got guys coming out with no towels on.
Oh, dude, flaunting, bro. Flaunting. That's all I'm going to say. But listen, Jonathan, I appreciate this. It was awesome. I want to do this again with you. We'll definitely start rocking the pay-per-views and some other events. Thank you so much for hopping on. We'll definitely check out your other podcasts that you do. And we'll just do this again soon, man. I'm looking forward to it, bro.
Same here, bro. Good to speak to you, man. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly!